Hi guys, my name is Kika. I am a compulsive eater. Hi guys. So as we were talking about coins, I counted and I have 2 years, 6 months, and 4 days of abstinence as of today. And I came into the program probably a few days before that, a week before that. So this was one of my, the first week I went to like six meetings. So this was one of my, it was Saturday, Sunday was the first one, this Wednesday was my third meeting overall probably. Again, my story is my story and everyone has their own story and it's different from everybody, for everybody. And people, you know, I believe there is, the steps are the same. There is a little bit of a different way in which you can do the steps that work for you, you know, meaning how long it takes, and so on. So just find a good sponsor and do what works for you, but I'll tell you what works for me. The main core kind of the program that I think allowed me to succeed is allowing myself to change. So when I first got into the program, I realized that, like, as I was reading the steps and doing the steps and reading the big book, that recovery for me meant change. And the big book describes recovery as a psychic change. So I realized that my habits, my life, who I am, the way my brain works needs to start changing, and I need to be open to that change. And that was really scary. And I had this thought process of, if I'm allowing this program to change, and I'm in this program only because I have an eating disorder and a disease, then I'm allowing my disease to change me. That sounds horrible. I don't want my disease to change me, so screw this, it's not going to work. That was my first, like, logic. And then my sponsor, you know, she tried different approaches to get me to accept change. And one thing that she said that kind of just clicked me over was when she said, don't think of it as your disease changing. Think of it as recovery allowing you to become who you were meant to be all along. And once she put it that way, I don't know why, I was like, okay, that makes sense. And then I really kind of jumped in with my two feet, and it took me 9 or 10 months to do all the 12 steps. I took them very seriously, and I wanted to make sure that each one was okay in my heart before I moved on. And it took time, and it was also really hard. Like, each step was hard. There was no step that was easy. And personally, I'm also an atheist, which makes it extra hard, I think. There's a lot of rephrasing and readdressing that needs to be done in order to go through the steps in a proper way. So that is sort of the general picture of change, is what I see my recovery as. And just to quote the big book real quick, it says, unless this person can experience an entire psychic change, there is very little hope of his recovery. I believe that's in the doctor's opinion, but I did not put a page number. Anyway, so how it was, what happened, and how it is now. How it was, I'll tell you a few stories, but again, the umbrella is the doctor's opinion, which how it was is I have an obsession of the mind and I have a knowledge of the body. And those two things make me different than most of the people in this world. And because of that, I could never stop thinking about food. I can never stop dieting. I could never just be free. So the allergy of the body is same thing as an alcoholic. When he takes a sip, he is craving more. It's in his blood. He just physically needs, he or she needs more. So same thing happens to me personally when I eat sugar, things that look like sugar. Then when I overeat in general, if I eat way too much and I binge, my body starts wanting more. And to show you an example, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, I lost a bunch of weight. And I wasn't eating a lot of the food I would typically be eating because I was losing weight. And then my family and I went camping. And we went camping with, like, this entire big group of people. And we all stayed in cabins. And the cabins were maybe a 5-minute walk from the main gym where all the activities were happening. And, you know, I just lost a bunch of weight. We were on this vacation with my family. And I'm like, I can have a cookie. So I had a chocolate chip cookie from Costco. My mom bought this whole big box. And I had one at lunch. And then the whole family and everyone went to this 5-minute walk to the gym to have an activity. And I'm like playing a game or whatever we were doing, and my thought is like, I can have another cookie. I want another cookie. I'll go back and have another cookie. So I walk the 5 minutes from the gym up the hill to my cabin. I have another cookie. I'm like, okay, I'm satisfied. I'm good. I'll go back to the gym. And I'm at the gym again, and all I can think is about another cookie. And my brain already starts counting. I know exactly how many calories are in this cookie and how many I had that day and so on. So I still go back and I have another cookie. And I don't know how many times I went back and forth, maybe four, but at the end of it, I give up. I just stayed at the cabin on the second floor. I kept eating cookies. Nobody was around because everyone was at the gym. And I remember specifically, it was the second floor of the cabin. I was looking down at all these cabins. There's no people there. And I'm just there alone eating cookies. And at the time, I didn't think much of it, but I know that that cookie made me gain all the weight I lost up to that, you know, that year to the summer. So that is an allergy of the body. I haven't had sugar in a while. I had one cookie. It started the process in my physical body. I could not, no matter how logically I knew that I wanted to be with my friends and family playing games at the gym, I had to be in that cabin eating cookies. And that's what triggered us to me. That's scary. And learning that, coming into here and learning that was freeing to me, knowing that that's what's up. It's not that my brother can have a cookie and not want the entire box, and I can't. It's not my willpower. It doesn't mean that I'm stupid. It doesn't mean anything about me. It just means that I have a disease, and knowing that is freeing. And then the obsession of the body, of the mind, is the second kind of part of the disease, of the doctor's opinion as he explains it. That is probably where it got me most. I'm pretty young and I'm pretty active, so my body, I could always manage it. I probably, you know, within 30, 40 pounds back and forth, which is actually, now that I say that out loud, it's quite a bit of weight. But I could always kind of think that I look fine. But the obsession of the mind is something that I could never get away from. And I always believe that no matter what the problem is, if I'm thin, if I lose weight, it will be okay. Right? Completely unrelated, like, you know, somebody broke up with me. Oh, but if I'm thin, I'm gonna feel better. And it was always there, no matter what I tried. Right before I got into program, I got a new job where I was doing a lot of just chores type of things, like driving around the city and getting stuff done. And I would, like, plan my routes around places where I could get ice cream. And that's pretty depressing, like planning your life around food. That's not what I want to be doing. And that's all obsession of the mind. You know, just eating so much food where I can't physically, like, it's so uncomfortable to walk. Like, that is crazy. Why would I ever do that? That makes no sense. But my brain just keeps wanting more. And I have this story that I tell. I got home from work and I just, you know, I stopped by a place or two and I got all this food and I ate so much of it that it was like hard for me to get up from the couch and walk to my bedroom. And it's a pretty small apartment. There isn't a lot of walking. So I got off the couch because my roommate came home and I didn't want to be around her. So I went to my room and I was in so much physical pain, and my room is really, my bed is really close to the floor. It's a very low bed, but I couldn't like bend over to get onto my bed. So I had to kind of like throw myself down, and I landed where my body was like, my top part of my body was on the bed and my legs were on the floor. And I was laying there and just crying and thinking, why am I so pathetic? Why can't I stop eating? I will never do this again. Why can't I stop? And it makes no sense. And yet, it's not the only time something like that happened. And pretty soon after that, I got into program because I couldn't do it anymore. I started isolating from my friends. I'm a very outgoing person, but I started, like, staying home in the evenings and watching TV instead of going out with my friends so I can eat stuff while I'm watching TV. And that really scared me. So coming in, I learned pretty quickly on that is the problem. I had an obsession of the mind and a knowledge of the body. And like I said, that was really freeing to me. It's not about my self-control because, again, it made, like, no sense. I was able to achieve and do all these other things in my life, I couldn't do this one thing. So I really hated myself. I remember, you know, just a few months ago, somebody shared in the meeting and said what recovery has given them is just that she doesn't hate herself every day anymore. And made me pause and think, I haven't hated myself in a long time. And I used to hate myself every single day. No matter if I was succeeding in my diet or not, you know, succeeding in quotes, because there's really no success in dieting for me personally. So that's how it was. You know, it was up and down. There were things I lost, you know, the same 20, 30 pounds every year since I was probably like 16 or 17. And I could just not control it. When I came into the program, I just took it very seriously, and I told myself, I'm just doing this for a year. I'm going to graduate in a year. I'm going to get it done. In fact, I emailed my sponsor, and I told her right at the beginning, like, I'm going to do this for a year. And she was like, okay. But that was, I think, for me, for my type of personality, that was good because I had a timeline. I put in 100%, went to a lot of meetings at the beginning, and the first, like, 2-3 months, I kind of took it as a diet for sure. I was, like, eating less than I should be, and I was writing everything down. But my sponsor kept, like, kind of pointing things out to me and telling me, like, it's okay to eat a little more because my side of the disease is definitely, like, I'm right in the middle. I can for sure binge and overeat, but I can also restrict and be really good at that to a point where it's not good for me. So I have to keep a balance right in the middle. So slowly but surely, she and I worked around where I was eating enough food. I wasn't really trying to lose weight because my body was about the same as it is now. It was hard. Of course, at the beginning, it was really hard. I remember the first 3 months, I did not eat at my parents' house just because I knew it was such a triggering place for me. And I would eat dinner and then go over. I would eat lunch and then go over. And it worked fine with them, but it was definitely hard work. I jumped right into the steps. I did my steps right out of the big book along with both 12 and 12. So I just read all the material I could, and I did a lot of writing and just everything my sponsor told me to do. The steps, you know, there's 12 of them. You should do all of them. I don't have the time to go through all of them right now. I had to do a lot of work around step three personally, again, because my definition of higher power is very different than what the book typically presents it to be. And then step four and five, I know, are very scary for a lot of people, and they were for me too. And I did them exactly from the big book, which isn't that much work, meaning, like, you know, I have to spend a year writing it. It took me, I remember, I counted it because I'm a little anal. 10 days, I had 10 days of writing, and I went to Starbucks after work every day for 30 minutes. So, and then I did on the weekends, like, a little more. So I think overall it took me about 5 hours of just straight up sitting and writing. And it's not that horrible. And then once I did the fourth step, step five, when I was giving it away, I didn't expect what would happen. I just thought, you know, I already have all the information right here, and it wasn't mind-blowing to me. It was just information. But speaking it out and having somebody else help me reflect on what was in there gave me so much freedom and understanding of myself and of just being able to let go of some things that I've had in my heart for years that of people hurting me, and I thought it would never go away. After fifth step, I definitely had a pink cloud for at least a month or two, which wore off, but the point of it is still there. Like, I don't have that heaviness in my heart and a lot of things anymore. Again, all the steps are very important. Six and seven, step nine, a lot of the things I didn't, I thought I heard a lot of people, but, you know, then I learned that thinking some things about people is not hurting them, and I shouldn't apologize for that. So my step 9 wasn't very big, but there is a couple things that I did have to make amends for. And then, you know, how it is now, it's me leaving in 10, 11, and 12, which I don't know how you guys are, how familiar you guys are with the steps. That's 10, 11, and 12. 10 is cleaning up my side of the street pretty much all through the day, every day. Step 11 is the evening and morning review, and step 12 is service. So I try to do all of those every day. And I think that's kind of the point, and it makes my life better. It's not, you know, like I always say, make the program work for you, not you for the program. Like, I'm not here to satisfy some kind of imaginary idea of OA God that is watching over me. Or I'm not here to make people like me. I'm here to make my life better. And steps 10, 11, and 12 make my life better. I do step 10 directly from the big book. I think it's on page 84, where it tells me if I'm ever resentful or upset, usually if I have any negative feeling, I look at it, I identify my selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear within that situation. I at once ask God to remove it, I share it with somebody else, and I make amends immediately. And that's something I try to do on a daily basis, a couple times a day sometimes, and that helps me live a happier life. And also it releases that resentment, that anger, that whatever the situation is that prevents me, prevents me from the need of eating over it later in the day, or later in 2 days, or later in whenever that comes up again. Where, you know, my program looks a little different now than it did at the beginning. I had to be a lot more, not strict around my food. Like my food plan hasn't really changed, but I used to plan my food ahead of time. Now I send it in at the end of the day. So I'm able to have more freedom around that, just with having more experience and more recovery. And, you know, I know everyone takes different approaches around their food, and I think that's great. The program gives us that freedom. And then, you know, also life changes. Things in life come up. And in the last 6 months, I think I've had a lot of things happen, and like I'm in a relationship now, which I haven't been the entire first 2 years of the program, and then there's a lot of stuff happening with work and with my family, so I try to prioritize my program, but at the same time sometimes I have to remember that life happens, and I'm gonna have this disease for the rest of my life, and I'm gonna be a program for the rest of my life, so I need to make sure I'm able to still live my life at the same time. So recently I had to cut back from 3 meetings to 2 meetings a week. And at first I felt really guilty about that. But I think it just goes back to acceptance. Like, that is my life, and that's okay. Again, there is not an OA imaginary God that is looking upon me and judging me. Like, that's not how it works, even though that's where my brain goes, because that's my history of God from my religious upbringing. But that's a different story. Yeah, I think that's where I'm at. Just working the program to the best of my ability. You know, to conclude, I really enjoy the 10-step promises. And I can tell you that 99% of the time, I feel the 10-step promises in my life. So just read those at the end and then be done. And we have ceased fighting anything or anyone, even food. For by this time, sanity will have returned. We will seldom be interested in food. If tempted, we recoil from it as from a hot flame. We react sanely and normally, and we will find that this has happened automatically. We will see that our new attitude towards food has been given us without any thought or effort on our part. It just comes. That is the miracle of it. We are not fighting it, neither are we avoiding temptation. We feel as though we had been placed in a position of neutrality, safe and protected. We have not even sworn enough. Instead, the problem has been removed. It does not exist for us. We are neither cocky nor are we afraid. That is our experience. This is how we react so long as we keep in fit spiritual condition. Great promises with a little condition at the end. We have to keep in a fit spiritual condition, which we can do through the steps. Thank you.
Thank you.